It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
All right, here we go. Hour number two of the Drive underway. 4 o'clock on your Overreaction Monday, presented by the Phone Exchange. The Top 4 at 4 is brought to you by MyBookie. Get your bets in for Monday Night Football. MyBookie.ag. Play, win, get paid. Bear? This is like the Tennessee offense version of the Top 4 at 4. Just
sputtering out of the gates. Sorry. That's such a great start, too. I was super dynamic.
I'm sure that's what Jim Chaney thought when he up there in the booth.
Let me try this again. All right, here we go. Number one, sources. Arizona Wildcats men's basketball team has been hit with 9 alleged NCAA rules violations, Russell, including 5 level 1 allegations.
Yeah. I mean, it's about time. But, again, this is just the notice of allegations. So, Arizona has 3 months now to respond, and then I think there's another 90 days or so for the NCAA to make their decision.
Serious charges, bro.
They're wanting the independent counsel. They've already put in their request for the independent counsel.
I bet they have, because they've been charged with the big ones are lack of institutional control and failure to monitor. And Wildcats, this is a big one. Head coach Sean Miller has been charged with lack of head coach control.
Didn't they get the swim team coach as well somehow?
That poor person. What the hell are they doing? What the hell how do you cheat in swimming?
I don't know.
You have like fins or something you can put on? I don't know. How do you cheat in swimming?
Get out of the water, run to the end, jump in the pool, act like I won.
Put, you know, swimmies on like you do when you're in the deep end, Russell. Oh, number two, ESPN has scrapped plans to host an 8-man college basketball. Pardon?
Yeah, very, very funny. You're laughing at your own jokes on the show, but please go ahead.
To host the 8 men's college basketball events in the Orlando bubble. They had planned to move 8 of its 10 non-conference events to the ESPN Wide World of Sports property, Walt Disney World in Orlando. And now they're not.
I just have a hard time seeing how you're going to get all these college teams from various parts of the country to all get in there and not be spreading it around and all that stuff. And then they say if you test positive there, like you got to quarantine there for 2 weeks or something. It just, this ain't the NBA.
Rick Barnes talked about it last week, yeah. Russ. He didn't think he'd really be able to pull it off. You know, and you have to look at, too, any Big Ten teams that go to these tournaments, if their players come down with it, they have to quarantine 21 days.
I just think you're going to have to, and I hate not being able to play some of these big non-conference games. Maybe they can work a handful of them out, but I just think you're probably better off doing basically what you did in football and playing conference only, and maybe you can expand it and play 26 games. Everybody plays each other twice, but it's going to be really hard to do. I mean, you're going to trust what the boys are doing over at Jacksonville State or, you know, Moorhead or wherever to come in and to your place and playing basketball, man. It's indoors. You're right up on top of each other. Everybody's handling the ball. It's a little bit different from football, you know?
It sure is. Number three, some tough news out of the NFL injury-wise. Cleveland Browns wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. has torn the ACL in his left knee. The Cleveland Browns announced it this morning after getting a confirmation MRI done. He was injured on the Browns' second snap Sunday while attempting to chase down a Cincinnati Bengals defender following a Baker Mayfield interception.
I'm sorry, Bear. Who is that? Got hurt in the NFL?
Odell Beckham Jr.
Oh,
you not heard of him?
Yeah, I saw that. That's
they lost. Cal Phillips is done for the season too. Tough news.
Who?
Former Tennessee defensive lineman.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Playing for
man. He's playing for the Jets. For the Saints?
Oh, the Jets. I'm sorry, the Jets, yeah.
Okay.
He did start with the Saints, plays for the Jets now. Yeah.
I mean, we're pretty quality top 4-4 here, Bear. We're not helping you out a lot. Anything else?
Yeah, number four. Apparently, Missouri Tigers wide receiver Maurice Massey has been dismissed from the team following his arrest on early Sunday morning. He was arrested Sunday on suspicion of third-degree domestic assault, fourth-degree assault, and first-degree property damage, according to the Boone County Sheriff's Department.
You went crazy
on
someone.
Released after bonding out of jail. He had opted out of this season already.
I guess that's one way of putting it. Yeah, he's doubly opted out now.
Oh, man, I didn't realize. I don't keep up with Missouri, even though they're in our division, because it's just I still can't get over the fact they're in the SEC East. But he was just a three-star recruit from St. Louis, played in four games last year, but did not record a catch. Hmm. I'm not really sure why this is news, huh?
There you go. The top four.
One of my worst top four.
Top four, not one for the history books, but it is brought to you by our friends at MyBookie, and they've got some great deals tonight. You want to go on and put a little action on Monday Night Football? We've got the Rams -6 at home against the Bears, over under 44.5. Get you some of that action. MyBookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid. At MyBookie, use promo code Knoxville to activate the offer to double your first deposit. If you haven't done MyBookie yet, you can go there right now. You will put in $100 to get started. They'll make it $200. Yep. Free cash month sitting there for you, waiting at MyBookie, MyBookie.ag. 865-546-8200 is your number to get on the G3 Help Me hotline. We get set to go back to it. Who we got, Drew?
We got David.
David is next. Hello, David.
Yeah, hey, Russell. Hey, Bear.
What's up, man?
Hey, Trey. I was trying to think who I was there. or Clay. Who's all there? I just now got
You got it. You got it. It's Russell, Bear, and Trey. I know. Hey, Trey, we got a crowd here. Go ahead.
All right, I got you. He was breaking up for a while ago, so I wasn't sure exactly who it was. But anyway, guys, the Pruitt thing about closing the gap, that was obviously just a bonehead statement to make. I mean, you lost 34-7 on your home field to Kentucky. I mean, you don't even make a statement like that. What quarterbacks do we have over there that are mobile, that are considered to be a mobile quarterback?
I think Maurer is, and we haven't seen Bailey run yet, but Garantano and Shroud are pretty slow. I think Maurer showed some dual threat ability last year, so he would be the only one to me that's proven any ability to scramble and run.
Right. Because Garantano, there's something about he don't have no peripheral vision in the pocket whatsoever, ever. He don't know how to step up. He don't know how to roll out. I mean, if you watch Matt Jones and the Joe Burrows of the world, they very seldom just stay in the pocket and throw the football. If it's throwing the ball straight out of the pocket, it's usually a fairly quick pass. But for the most part, if you watch Joe Burrow, he moves all around that pocket. And it just seems like Garantano, he's got stuck in concrete. When he gets in the pocket, he feels like he has to throw the ball out of that pocket. Have y'all got kind of that same sense?
Yeah, I mean, David, I've just kind of come to the realization that he's long since peaked as a quarterback. I just don't know that it's a productive use of our time to sit here and dissect his flaws anymore. We all know his flaws. He can't play. He holds on to the
right.
Yeah, all the things you said are true. You've got it. You've got it nailed down. The problem is not that he's not any good. The problem is that we keep playing him.
Right, and it don't seem to be a fix. I mean, there's no fixing it. I mean, it's like, what is the quarterback coaches telling this kid in practice? I mean, you know they've got to be seeing that he's just stuck in that pocket.
Yeah.
He don't see anything from the sides whatsoever.
But I think you're answering your own question, David.
Yeah, I am probably.
He doesn't have a feel for it. He can't sense the rush. He doesn't throw on time. He's just a little slow in everything that he does. And that's not going to get fixed. And, hey, look, people want to pile on Chris Winkie. I don't know that there's anything more he can do.
He can do, right.
Look, you could go out there and coach me up for but there's a ceiling, right? Right. With me, I'm just not. I don't have it. So
yep.
And I think
y'all remember. Oh, I'm
I
sorry.
Feel like you're somewhat of a statue in the pocket, Russ.
Yeah.
You'd probably get hurt.
Yeah. I think we've reached his peak a long time ago. I don't think there's anything Winky could do. I don't think there's much David Cutcliffe could come and do to fix Jarrett Guarantano. I think he's a finished product at this point. And the time to move on and find a better quarterback and develop him is, I mean, that was a long time ago. And for whatever reason, we haven't begun that process.
Well, going out the door, guys, if y'all remember the Lane Kiffin year in the South Carolina game, Crompton had pretty much been stinking it up the season. They'd kind of played him the same way, kind of just trying to make him a pocket passer. And then in the South Carolina game, they came out with a game plan where they rolled him out a lot, got him out there to flat, letting him throw, you know, 7-yard passes to a wide-open running back that had space and things of that nature. And Crompton ended up having some success. And why – I don't understand why Jim Chaney can't go to Pruitt and say, look, Pruitt, here is our talent. Here's our talent. We've got guys on the edge. We've got speedsters. We have got to get the ball to them. We've got to have a quarterback that can get outside the hash marks and throw the ball. I would really like to see a game plan like that, but we'll see, guys. Great show. I'll keep listening. Appreciate
Thank you, David. Appreciate the phone call. Let's get Titans Bill in here next. Our Titans took it on the chin yesterday. We finally ran out of that magic we were riding on, that Tannehill magic, and Titans Bill, I'm not convinced that it's a terrible thing for the Titans. We'll grow from this. We'll get better for this. It might be exactly what we needed.
Well, I'll tell you something, Dubsy and Bear. We were beat, but we weren't whipped.
That's true. That's true.
But our volunteers were whipped.
They were whipped soundly.
And
like a government mule, Bill.
I'm going to say this, and I know I'm going to get a disagreement. Pruitt has got to go. Fulmer has got to go. I'm sorry.
Titans Bill wants to fire everybody, Russell.
You want Pruitt and Fulmer out.
I want Pruitt and Fulmer. If I were a member of the Board of Trustees over there, and if I was super rich, I would hold a meeting and I would say to them, Fulmer's got to go. Pruitt has got to go.
Titans Bill's cleaning house, ladies and gentlemen.
Got that right.
Who are we going to get? Who's going to make the next hire then? You got to hire the AD first, right?
Let's hire David Blackburn and let's hire Hugh Freeze.
Let's ride.
Is Blackburn still at MTSU?
Yeah.
Is that would we do that? Is that even a thing?
No.
He ain't coming back to Knoxville, bud.
Fulmer ain't going out easy like that, Bill.
Well, it didn't go down the last go around good. So
nah, he tangled with Fulmer.
Well,
what if he turns it around and we get another winning streak this year, Bill? Can Pruitt win you back?
Bear, it's not happening. It's not happening.
We've lost Titans, Bill.
I mean, this is what happens when you lose to Kentucky, Russell. It's not so much this Alabama loss.
It's sad, man.
Other than the fact that he trotted Guarantano out there.
It's sad.
Well, the bottom line, at least Kentucky went down to earth. You know who put him down to earth? Missouri.
Yeah, Rod Blazevic, they got at quarterback. That's
this
one. I think if we play
Ohio,
guys, I think if we play Kentucky later in the year,
what did you call Missouri's quarterback?
Him, but I think that if we play Missouri later in the year after they found this Blagojevich guy or whatever, I wouldn't want to play them.
Are
right
you trying
now.
To say Bazalack?
I guess.
Are you conflating him with? Was it? Are you thinking Jeb Blazevic, the tight end from was he from Michigan a couple of years ago?
No.
Then what the hell are you trying to say?
I thought it was his name. I'm having a nice conversation with Titans.
Because you're not making any sense, man.
Bill understood me. Anyhow.
I do have some
constructive criticism for the Titans. Right,
Bear, you're breaking up. He wants to talk about the Titans. Go ahead, Bill.
There's a difference. Vrabel can coach. Pruitt can't.
Bill, they do need to figure out their third down defense problem.
Yeah, that's what they need to do. You know, I was talking to Rich Eisen on his show.
Really?
You know, I hit the national team, buddy. And he's over here saying, you don't have to worry. They should handle Cincinnati with ease. And when I got off the phone, I thought to myself, yeah, Mr. Eisen, that's what you think. It ain't going to be no walk in the park.
It's the National Football League. There's no such thing, Bill. You got to earn it each and every time out there. Look, here's the truth, Titans, Bill. We were lucky to beat the Broncos to open up the year. We were lucky to beat the Jags. We were lucky to win in Minnesota. So many of these games, we were lucky to beat the Texans, man. So many of these games have like just come down to the Titans making a play at the end to bail them out. The truth is they've made a billion mistakes in all of those games. And, you know, I give them credit. I'm proud of the wins. But yesterday it was just too much and the opponent was too good. So I actually think that can be – look, we were never going to go 16-0 this year. So losing the Steelers, there's no shame in that. And I'm sure that's one of those film studies. And they turn it on. They're like, look, man, Tannehill made mistakes. Henry didn't play his greatest. Offensive line, defense, Bears right. The third down defense is atrocious right now. But all those things are fixable, I believe. And that's the great thing about being a Titans fan right now.
They need to work on their third down defense if they don't.
Titans, Bill, we're 5-1 right now, and we're not playing anywhere close to our best football. There's a whole nother level out there for the Titans. I believe we're going to get to it.
I'll tell you what, Cincinnati may be 1-5. But I'll tell you something. If they think they can go in there and they think this game is going to be a walk in the park, I have news for those Titans players.
Well, Joey Burrow can play, man. He can sling that.
Because I'll tell you, Joe Burrow would be my choice for Rookie of the Year.
He can sling it.
They got to get him.
He can hum the tater.
He can hum that tater. Titans, Bill, we got to run, man. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Stay with us. The Drive rages on. More of your phone calls coming up. Overreaction Monday presented by the Phone Exchange on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Great tune. Welcome back. The Drive continues on Fan Run Radio. Folks, don't put off your dental visits this year. If you haven't been yet in 2020, what you need to do is call our friends at Knoxville Smiles. They've been doing a great job all year long taking care of East Tennesseans, helping them keep those pearly whites fully operational. Call 865-539-1776 to set up your appointment today, or just go online to KnoxvilleSmiles.com. Knoxville Smiles, located West Knoxville off South Peters Road. Check them out again online at KnoxvilleSmiles.com. We've got Zach up next today on The Drive. Good afternoon, Zach.
What is that, W?
Zachary, what's up, buddy?
Hit the damn Jimmy drums.
Oh, yes. You know what? I'm all for – I love the Right Reverend. It would be a great story. And the thing that's so frustrating about Tennessee, about this university, this town, and our football program is that here's a guy that would take the job. He proposed to his wife in Neyland Stadium. He's obviously spent time in Memphis, is familiar with our state. He has a proven pedigree of winning at the highest level in this league. He's beaten Alabama twice, one of the only coaches to do that. And he would take the job, but you know what, Zach? You know this. I know this. Bear and Trey know this. Everybody listening knows this. It's not going to happen. Never in a million years would we hire that guy.
Nope. I agree with you. I'm getting so desperate. I'm you know, I'm grabbing at anything right now, you know, that possibly could stick.
Hey, it would be a great redemption story. Here's a guy who's fallen, but he's a man of faith. It would like Tennessee would love that guy, and he would do well here. I don't think he would do some of the dumb things he did down there at Ole Miss, and he would do really well here. It's a slam dunk hire. We could get it for cheap. It would be a great story, and there's not a snowball's chance in Hades that it's ever going to happen.
No, we can just dream. He can recruit too. That's the thing about it too.
John Gruden going down to Dunwoody, putting his coaching staff together and taking the job there's a more likelihood of that happening than Hugh Freeze getting this job here.
Yeah,
you say the same thing about Kiffin.
Sure. I mean, yeah, that's not going to happen. That'll never happen again.
No, but it'd be a great hire for us.
I know you guys got a busy hour coming up here with all the calls. Everybody's pretty frustrated and upset, but I just want to touch on something that you guys were debating with Trey, and I respect what Trey does. I think he does a really good job of the reporting and all the sideline stuff. I really enjoy when he comes in and gives us this perspective on that, but I mean, he's got to have a tray of pop brownies to not believe that Garantano is going to play next year. I don't care what they say. Like, I don't trust that coaching staff, what they're telling everybody. I mean, they don't tell them everything. And the thing about it is, like, it just feels like if Garantano has another year of eligibility, why wouldn't Pruitt have him back if they believe that he's the best option to win?
Can I break in here for a second?
Yeah, go ahead.
If Jeremy Pruitt, and this is not a shot. This is not a shot at you. If Jeremy Pruitt, if we ran with everything Jeremy Pruitt told us in media sessions, we'd be pumping Tennessee to go, I don't know, 8-2 this year, 9-1. It's about working to find other people to talk that are not Jeremy Pruitt. It's how we come to the conclusions that we do in this business. And that's why I just don't think, after talking with a few folks the last 2 days, that's why I just don't think that Jared Garantano, welcomed back is the wrong word. Told not to come back is the wrong way to put it. But just, hey, your time here is done, I think that's the right way to put it. And that's why I believe Garantano is not going to be the quarterback of Tennessee next year.
And Trey, if you're right about that, that even upsets me more, because why aren't we playing the guy if we think he's on the roster right now, given this year didn't matter?
It's so infuriating, Zach. Exactly. Why? None of it makes exactly. any sense.
I agree. I don't disagree, brother. I'm with you on that one.
In a year that doesn't matter, that you're already 2-3, the chances for quality wins are rapidly deteriorating. If the year doesn't matter, then why not go ahead and play the young quarterbacks? And if you can't decide between Maurer and Bailey and Shrout for that matter, play them all. Rotate them, everything. Get crazy with it. If the year doesn't matter, let's work on next year. This is a dressed rehearsal.
Here's what happened with the quarterback situation. They had to make a decision in the last week. And Russell and Bear, you know where I'm going with this, and you know where I've gotten this from. They had to make a decision in the last week on which quarterback they felt like could be back at Tennessee next year between Brian Maurer and between JT Shrout. And they felt Brian Maurer was the quarterback that could be back next year, that could be in that quarterback room with Caden Salter and Harrison Bailey, and that's why they demoted JT Shrout, the fourth string, the scout team, never going to play a dime here again, and that's why Brian Maurer got put into the game at the end against Alabama. They are hoping he comes back next year to give them some kind of veteran take in that quarterback room.
I got to go drink some terrapin beer. Y'all take care.
Huh? Certainly worse ways to spend a Monday afternoon.
A little hot executioner.
Disagree or agree with me?
Yeah, but I don't – they're going to – Brian Maurer's not coming back just to mentor. Brian Maurer, it's obvious. He thinks he can play, and we've seen flashes of it where he could play. you can't tell me that as much as I run him down, the Pirate or Lane Kiffin or, I mean, any number of coaches across the country couldn't get Brian Maurer developed to where he's, you know, racking up huge numbers.
How about this? Can we switch topics for a minute from the quarterback thing? Because I'm sorry, I'm just so bored of it by now.
Absolutely.
About the secondary.
Well, what about what you broke, which is being talked about all over town now? Nobody credits Trey and Fan Run Radio for breaking the story, but that's okay. That Pruitt demoted Ansley during the middle of the game and started calling the defense himself in the second half. And
what?
Barry, you were sitting here on the show with us during voluntary reaction. We talked about this. You talked about this.
Was that what that was when I went to Arby's.
What about the fact that this guy last week has this weird meltdown where he fires the defensive line coach and in the middle of the season, and now he's emasculated his, what are we paying Ansley, $1.5 million, at least $1 million, right?
I think it's 1.2.
His $1 million defensive coordinator.
He's God almighty.
Taking his job away from him. I don't know what's going on off the, yeah, just what about this guy's insane micromanaging tendencies and the effect that has on team morale?
Is he micromanaging worse than Butch?
I never heard about Butch taking over defensive play. I never heard him about him taking over any play calling duties during a game, and this guy does it routinely.
Pretty much how I would explain what happened Saturday night was this is not what Jeremy Pruitt said, so don't take it like that. I sum it up as Jeremy Pruitt went to Derek Ansley and said, let me get some of that. I'm going to go out here and see what I can do for a little bit with this play sheet. And, you know, Russell, I've talked to you about it. You know what happens, you know, afterwards. It's one of those things where, you know, Derek Ansley is going to be back coaching the defense against Arkansas. But I don't quite understand that part of it. It was somebody explain. I know we got to hit a break. Somebody explained it to me this way. It's like when you're a parent in a car, and you've got a 15-year-old driver, and you're trying to teach them how to drive, and you just don't think the 15-year-old or the 16-year-old driver is doing it well, so the parent decides to take over for the time being and the rest of the ride. That's how it was explained to me. That makes sense?
No. Nothing about this makes sense.
Okay. Well, that's right.
Nothing. It's not your fault. It's just the situation doesn't make sense. I can't believe that we've taken what is basically an asterisk year, a year where, like, really nobody should be on the hot seat. It's just like you go out there and just continue your progress that you've started in the first 2 years, and this guy somehow managed to turn the fan base, or at least a half of the fan base, against him. Bear, should we put the poll back in the field? Should we do another Pruitt approval poll? Do you think it's gone down any from last week? He was like 62, 63.
Yeah, I mean, it might have.
I bet it goes up.
You think it goes up?
I bet it goes up.
What?
How was he 62% after Kentucky? I mean, people are going to argue, be like, well, we scored 17 against Alabama.
I think we're confused. You're agreeing with us. We're just saying it different. Like, you think his approval rating's going down, correct?
Like, it was 62%.
Yeah.
Last
time. Yeah. You think it's going down from there?
No, I think, it's going to go up.
He says it's going up.
This fan base is, losing it, so.
You know what's weird about this football season? The more we have these conversations, just the more confusing everything becomes. the more murkier. I can't understand what people – I can't understand Trey's analogy. I can't understand what Drew's trying to say. I can't understand what our plan is with quarterback. I can't understand if we're getting better or worse or just stagnant. It's – maybe it's me. Maybe I'm going insane. Stay with us. The Drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up.
The Drive.
Portions of the show today brought to you by Citizens National Bank. Save big where the rubber meets the road with roadside assistance. Yeah, they'll help you out. You have car trouble. another benefit of having a checking account at Citizens National Bank. Visit CIBTN.com for more info. Is there anything they don't do at Citizens National Bank? I don't think so. This is Overreaction Monday on The Drive. I'm Russell Smith and with my trusty sidekicks, Trey and Bear, taking your phone calls at 865-546-8200. Just having another fun time talking football in East Tennessee. Stuck in Hotel Garantano. You can check out anytime you want, but you can never leave. Plateauval is next on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Hello, Plateauval.
Hello, guys.
Hey, what's up, man?
Not much. I want to ask a question, and don't laugh me out of the booth just yet, but hear me out.
Okay.
Could T. Martin be under Dabo Swinney?
Nobody's laughing at that. As a matter of fact, Barry, you and I have discussed that several times the past week.
Seriously and at length. And that's exactly a direct quote of what I told Russell. I think he could be our Dabo.
I mean, if you're wanting to I know it's a COVID year. But if you just somehow wiggle Pruitt out, and I know you're gonna have to pay his buyout, but
yeah.
If you just let T have it, you would be some kind of savings. Just let let him keep the staff as is.
Let Ansley coach
basically give him like a year and a half audition to keep the job.
Let Ansley coach the defense. You don't have to. I'm imagining T. He probably won't do it for what he's making now. Like you'd have to give him a real salary.
Yeah, but, give him a bump. I know that.
But you don't have to like give him some massive buyout or something. Like you're saying, if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. Because the truth is, guys, we don't have a lot of good options right now. And if we do have to make a coaching change, whether it's at the end of this season or next year or whenever, it kind of feels like this might be our last chance to get it right before we go the way of Ole Miss, Minnesota, Army. Teams that used to be college football powerhouses that just aren't relevant anymore and don't really have a path back to being relevant.
Right. I mean, I'm just trying to, be as realistic as I can be, because we've not hired a proven head coach since 1976. I mean, you know where I'm going. And I don't think we're going to hire Hugh Freeze or anybody like that. It's just not what they've done. That's not what they've done. And I was just going over that scenario in my head, and it seems doable to me, but I didn't know if I was going crazy like everybody else or just wanted to bounce that off you guys, and I'll listen to you and hang up. Thanks.
Thanks, Plateauval. I mean, if we're going to suck, can we at least suck with one of our own at the helm instead of some gump who can't wear a mask? I'm sorry. Was that rude? Is it too early to be talking that way about our head coach?
No.
Not at all.
Barry, you tell me this. Are we better off doing it this way? Because at least, we talked about this for over 2 years now, how if we have to turn on this guy, it won't be hard at all, and it'll get really ugly, and we won't feel the least bit bad about it because he's a Bammer. Whereas if we do promote T and we continue to flounder, then all of a sudden, it's a lot.
I'd have to hang it up, man.
It's one thing to turn on Jeremy Pruitt.
Uh-oh.
It's another thing to turn on 17.
I will never do it. I don't care, and that's the problem. I could never turn on T, man.
I just want to win. I don't care. I don't care if it's a Bammer. I don't care if it's
a
Florida guy.
Well, you saw what happens whenever he's able to get some of his guys on the field.
Who?
I mean, you saw what happens when you're able to get Jalen on the field and him actually get some playing time. I don't think they're getting enough. Let me rephrase that. I don't think they're using Bayless enough.
Yeah.
Brandon Johnson about came to blows with JG on the sideline Saturday night.
How about this? State-run radio is reporting. Well, let me find this so I get it right. Jimmy Himes reports, John Chavis, former defensive coordinator at Tennessee, LSU, Texas A&M, and Arkansas, said he'd like to coach for another 4 or 5 years. If not, he says he's had 42 great years of coaching. He spent this fall assisting with a middle school team. Get the band back together, Bear.
I don't know about all that.
Get the band back together.
Derek Ansley, I'd definitely bring Chavis in maybe as a consultant or as a, you know, and definitely as a defensive consultant. But
how about this? Coach Fulmer.
No.
Saves us some money. He slides back into the head coach as a CEO role. John Chavis coaching the defense. T. Martin coaching the offense. Let's get the band back together.
No, I'm not going to go there with you. I was talking
to the band back together.
A former
Jake.
Player this morning. He was showed me that article, and I mean, we both have photography. Game. J.B. Wavy didn't do real good in his last couple of stops.
He was at Arkansas, bro.
The game's kind of passed him
by.
Barry Odom's at Arkansas, and he's bamboozling people. He's just, you know,
That's a good point.
I think he would do great.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good point.
I think he would be
We don't need to have a retirement home coaching staff. We need young, dynamic, proven.
I think that
proven.
He can provide something, within the – I think he definitely brings something to the table. I just don't know if I would hire him as our defensive coordinator.
Matt is in Cookeville. Hello, Matt.
Hey.
What's up?
Hey. So here's what's going to happen.
Okay.
What's up? What's Pruitt's buyout in 2021, the end of it?
At the end of next season, I guess it'll go down by four, so like $8 million.
Okay, so here's what's going to happen. Fulmer's going to hire Cutcliffe because he's 1-5. He's going to bring Cutcliffe in. T. Martin's going to be the offensive coordinator, and he's going to hire Chavis as the defensive coordinator. He's bringing the band back. Just like you said, we're going to have retirement coaches, and then it's just going to be what it was.
Well,
yeah, I'm not down with that.
I'm not down with it either, but I think that's what's going to happen.
We all love Coach Cut. He's 66. Does he have a massive, high-pressure SEC rebuild left in him?
I don't
he's
think so.
He's coaching middle school ball right now.
I'm talking about Cutcliffe.
Oh, no. Cutcliffe doesn't. How old's Cutcliffe?
66.
We're going to hire Cutcliffe. Should have pulled the trigger on
Pruitt
him
because of what he had. It was a trial by fire, and now he's going to bring in Cutcliffe when that doesn't work out because he's his boy. And then Cutcliffe's going to put T. Martin as offensive coordinator, hire Chavis back, bring the band back together.
It's another bad sign that we're in this, you know. Coaching jigsaw puzzle portion of the this is halfway through the season. We're 5 games into a 10 games regular season, and are we sitting here talking about what bowl game we might go to, the development of our quarterback room, our defense continuing to improve under our defensive minded head coach? No, we're sitting here creating fantasy coaching staffs. And
it's not a fantasy. The thing is, I was watching the Alabama game, and then we get the fumble right there at the 50. We come out and run it 3 straight times.
It's so awesome.
And I'm sitting here thinking, we've quit. We just quit. We knew we weren't going to beat Alabama. We knew there was no chance. So we just run it 3 straight times, give them the ball back, let them go score again, and then it's over with.
Over with.
You know? Did you not think that? Did y'all not think that watching that game? We fumble the ball, we get the ball back. And they instead of going deep on first down like you should have, throw the ball along to Hyatt or Palmer, see what happens. We come out and we run the ball 3 straight times because who cares? We're losing anyways. What's it matter?
Sad thing is, I had that feeling. We have folks and Matt. Like, I appreciate your passion, your enthusiasm, and you know Trey's breaking down game. We had callers talking about different points in the game. I never felt we had any chance to win that game. at any point last week, at any point Saturday, at any point during the game. So for all these people who are like, well, you weren't playing to win the game, I never thought we were going to win the game. If it were me,
no.
I would have sat there and ran it. Would we run it 50 times? I'd have ran it 80 times. And I'd have kept the clock moving. I'd have milked the clock and tried to get out of there with like a 35-10 loss or something like that.
I didn't think we was going to win the game, but it was some point. We're Tennessee. I was born in 1990. I remember the 90s. I was 8 years old during the when we won the national championship. I remember. I remember watching it with my dad. We're sitting there. You know, I remember Tennessee when we were good.
Yeah.
And to come out and run it three straight times after we got a fumble ball on the 50-yard line against Alabama and not even try, I wanted to punch my TV out.
I feel you, man.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. At a fourth down, there was a fourth and one. We kicked a field goal down 14-0.
It's incredible.
Thinking, I don't know what we're thinking. This is the same guy who told us we can't play scared before the Georgia game. He's out there kicking field goals down two touchdowns against Alabama.
Get him out of here, dude. Get him out.
Matt, I feel your pain, brother. Thanks for the phone call.
Thanks, guys.
There's just no good solutions. He ain't going anywhere, man. Fulmer ain't going anywhere. Pruitt ain't going anywhere. We'll be sitting here next year talking about a very similar conversation. We've created this Groundhog Day program.
Is this the most Tennessee thing ever that our coach put himself on the hot seat in a year that really doesn't matter? Could actually end up buffooning his way.
We are the
fired.
Hey, we're the craziest fan base in the country. Leave it to us to fire the guy in the middle of the COVID year and go on a coaching search when you can't go a coaching search. Yes, that would be the most Tennessee thing ever. When we can't even afford to fire the guy. Yes. I kind of think we have to, man. We got a lot to live up to. We've set this reputation for ourselves.
Oh, we're loons. We're completely insane. That being said, he goes 3-7. Do you think he's coming back next year?
With a win
at Vanderbilt.
At Vanderbilt, 3-7.
Yep.
You say yes, Trey?
Yeah, they're not firing him.
I think it'd be up in the air.
They're not firing him.
Yeah, I'm with Trey. I don't think they can afford to. I really don't.
I don't know, man.
How are you going
It would get so damn ugly if he does, if the only game. What if he goes 2-8 from here?
I think it'll get ugly for a little bit at the end of the season, and then I think people will just walk away.
Russell.
I think people.
2-8.
I think it'll be really ugly at the end of the season. And I think people just walk away, and I don't think they'll come back until Tennessee decides to get serious about it, and that might not be for many years.
Oh, look what I told y'all to begin the show about my father. He's been a Seagull for 26 years, and he didn't want to drive 30 minutes to the stadium.
I mean, if you go 2-8 or 3-7 this year, like, it wouldn't surprise me if that recruiting class falls apart.
Recruiting class ain't going to fall apart because they're going to get their guys to sign in December, the main ones.
Well, but Trey, the season's going to be over by then. We'll have gone 3-7.
Well, 3-7 or 2-8, we will have melted down.
Anybody think Dylan Brooks and Terrence Lewis are coming here if we go 3-7?
I don't think Terrence Lewis is coming here anyways.
Okay, so
it's one of our top recruits.
He just goes to Miami.
So what are we doing here? We can't recruit our way out of it. We can't coach our way out of it.
Get some casino chips.
We're just going to be a 500 football program. See you in the Music City Bowl, if we're lucky. Belk Bowl. Charlotte's beautiful that time of year. Yeah.
It's not the Belk Bowl anymore.
Oh, yeah, the Duke's Mayonnaise Bowl. Thank you. Got to get it right.
Right.
Oh,
that's some respect.
That's even worse.
Stay with us. We wrap up hour number two of The Drive. Coming up, more Fan Run Radio on the way.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Coming up, hour number three of the show, we'll select our North Knox Siding and Windows High School Football Player of the Week. We'll review the five things I wanted to see. Spoiler alert, I didn't see them. and we'll take more of your phone calls. Kazakhstan is formally embracing Borat. I don't know if you guys saw the new Borat movie premiered on Amazon.
I saw a clip from it, Russell.
I actually watched some of it last night. It was all right. I couldn't get through it, though. It's kind of dumb. But
I'm not the biggest Borat fan.
Yeah. But anyway, Kazakhstan, you know, the first one, they were all like, oh, this paints us in a bad light and everything. Now they are formally embracing it. The Kazakhstan Board of Tourism has embraced as their new tourism slogan, Kazakhstan. Very nice. Very nice.
I've just never found him to be that funny.
He's pretty good
in Talladega Nights.
Yeah, it's a funny concept. Like I just like an entire movie of that. That's like one of those things I like seeing, like maybe a 5 or 10 minute clip do some funny things.
Right.
Like, can't watch that character for an hour and a half. You know.
You know who he's married to?
Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yeah.
Who?
Isla Fisher, the actress.
Who's that?
From Wedding Crashers.
The redhead.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very nice. Good for him.
He's doing well for himself. So,
Barrel, have your top five at five, the latest on Tennessee and SEC football. For those of you just getting off work, just joining us, we hit the reset button when we continue. Stay with us. The Drive continues. Hour number three coming up.
The Drive.